about tonight. But I've got some interesting things to share with you, and Natalie's going to give me a little heads up at the end because I have something to share and I might forget. It's about something that's going on, an announcement that's going on at the end of the month that I've sort of been talking about, so. But tonight, the Lord was impressing me to talk about worship. I had something else planned, but he said, I want to talk about worship tonight. And what worship means, of course, we're all familiar with worship. But the Lord's getting ready to take us deeper in understanding what it means. So this weekend, or Friday night, Saturday night, I went to a conference. It was actually a prayer conference. but the worship was amazing. I mean, everything that we're going to talk about was expressed there and then some. And that place was packed out. It was amazing. It was wonderful. And God had a lot of encouraging words through a few prophets who are national prophets. One is Dutch Sheets, if anybody's familiar with him. The other is Tom Malone, who is a prophet in Florida, central Florida. Mm-hmm. And the other is Chuck Pierce, and I'm not sure where Chuck Pierce lives, but he's around. Where is he live?
Oh, I thought you wanted to know where he was from.
Oh, where is he from?
He's in Texas, isn't he?
In Texas? Well, they've been coming to Florida once a year for several years and giving words that, because they are Dutch Sheets and Tom Malone are...
Ken
Malone? Oh, Ken, sorry, thank you. They are full-time ministry intercessors. And God sends them all over the world sometimes, usually the United States, for intercession and praying in situations. And it put me in, he's been to Washington, D.C., and he's actually since, was it before the election, or I'm not sure when he began, he has a daily post every day of encouragement and prayer and reports of what God is speaking all over this nation through people, and it's very encouraging, and he does this every day. I don't know how he does it. And he doesn't do just a little hello, 10 minutes. It's a good, what would you say?
He calls it give him 15. So.
Give him 15. I guess it's about 15 minutes. But when you have to speak to the world for 15 minutes every single day and give encouragement and what God is, what he's gathering from what God's speaking to other people all over, not just the United States, the world. I am very impressed and respectful of this man for spending. This is his full-time ministry. He's an amazing man of God. He's probably, they're all probably about my age, or maybe a little younger, I'm not sure, but they've been around a long time. And it was, the room, and Michelle was there, and the room was just electrified. I mean, people were engaged. When there was time to breathe, everybody breathed at the same time. When there were time to cheer, everybody cheers. There was a real unity in there. And there were people from all over, and people that I know from Thomasville, people from different places had come and gathered. And that place was packed out. And people are ready, and they're interceding, and they're hopeful. And it was an encouraging time for me. Was it for you, Michelle?
Yeah, I mean, I think there were a lot of pastors and ministry leaders there.
Yes, absolutely. There were a lot of pastors, a lot of ministers, and it was really very igniting for me, and I'm sure it was for Michelle and all the other people that were there. It was amazing and encouraging, very encouraging. I don't know if do you think that they recorded it?
I don't think so.
Yeah. Well, it was amazing, and I got very encouraged, and I'm not the same person as I was last week, for sure. It was very very directive, helped me move along and my prayer life and what God is doing in my life and all of our lives. And it was just very encouraging. So I didn't plan to teach on this. I had another subject in mind, but the Lord spoke to me and said he wanted me to talk about worship and what it means to him. We think about what worship and what that means to us, but what does it mean to the Lord? What does worship mean to the Lord? And I get these questions all the time. What's the difference between worship and praise? Do you get that question?
All the time.
Well, I'd like to clarify it a little bit as best as I can. I think it helps sort of separate the weeds from the flowers or something. Maybe it's not a good example. But anyway, I do want to share what the Lord has shown me and what he's given me. And it's very exciting. But let's go to Revelation, that scripture in Revelation. It's Revelation 5. I want to read Revelation. I think it's 4. I've got 5 marked here. Let's go to 4. After this, I looked, and behold, a door was opened in heaven. And the first voice which I heard was as it were a trumpet talking to me, which said, "Come up hither, and I'll show you the things which must be hereafter." And immediately I was in the Spirit, and behold, a throne was set in heaven, and one that sat on the throne. And he that sat on the throne, he that sat was to look upon like a jasper and a sardine stone. Is that how you spell it? Sardine? How do you pronounce that?
Sardine.
Okay. Sardine. And there was a rainbow around about the throne in sight, like unto an emerald. And round about the throne were 24 seats, and upon the seats I saw 24 elders sitting clothed in white raiment, and they had on their heads crowns of gold. And out of the throne proceeded lightnings and thunderings and voices, and there were 7 lamps of fire burning before the throne, which are the 7 spirits of God. And before the throne there was a sea of glass, like unto crystal. And in the midst of the throne and round about the throne were 4 beasts full of eyes before and behind. And the first beast was like a lion, and the second beast like a calf, and the third beast had a face as a man, and the fourth beast was like a flying eagle. And the 4 beasts had each of them 6 wings about him, and they were full of eyes within, and they rest not day and night, saying, "Holy, holy, holy, Lord God Almighty, which was and is to come." And when those beasts give glory and honor and thanks to him that sat on the throne, who liveth forever and ever, the 24 elders fall down before him that sat on the throne and worship him that liveth forever and ever and ever, and their crowns before the throne, saying, and cast their crowns before the throne, saying, "Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for thou hast created all things, and for thy pleasure they are and were created." Well, the world that we live in doesn't realize it, for the most part, with the Me Too or Me Only or Me Something, whatever they call it. They think that they're living for themselves. But we know as Christians that our life is not our own. And the Lord wants us to realize that He is removing things in our lives that will hinder us from what's coming. And he is taking us to a new realm of worship. And that worship is in his presence. And that worship is our interaction with him and what he's going to teach us. and how he's going to be with us. But we must understand we were created for his pleasure. He isn't there for our pleasure. And a lot of us forget about that. We think he's supposed to be our everything. Well, he is our everything, whether we think he is or not. But we are created for what he desires in our lives. And so, if we could get that in our spirit, our life every day would change. If we could really grasp a hold of, I'm living this day for the Lord. What would you have me do today, Lord? What is today for? And this is so important. Because we all have these general ideas of what, you know, we're supposed to do every day. And we do have things and responsibilities that we have to do. But honestly, it's for his pleasure. You're taking care of his children for his pleasure that he's given you care for temporarily for a little season. You too. And the rest of you who have kids, well, our kids are grown. Well, yours is almost, well, yeah, she's grown. But what you're doing, Megan, every day of your life, is for his glory. And so it's easy when you meditate on that and when you think on that, it is easy to navigate the day in a way that isn't so easy when you have it all muddled. Because if you're navigating your day for the purpose of his glory and knowing it's for his pleasure, things are so much easier. They truly are. Because you know everything is ordained of him, and you are giving him pleasure. And there's nothing greater than that. To know that you have pleased God every day. To know that you are living for his pleasure. And he created you for his pleasure. And you have purpose for his pleasure. And so a lot of times we lose sight of that. For whatever circumstance we're in. It doesn't matter. Everybody loses sight of that one way or the other. And he wants us to understand that worship, praise and worship, is his pleasure. And so when we hold back, when we're, you know, when we're iffy about that, when we really don't see it as an important part of our day, let alone when we come together, then we're missing the whole idea. So what is praise and worship? What does that mean? If we're to incorporate that in every day of our lives, how do we do that? What is it? Because we know how to incorporate praise and some worship when we come together in the body. But how do we do that on a daily basis? Does that mean we go to our closet and we just stand and we praise him and worship him and what we automatically think of is that? Or is it something different? Well, let's go to some definitions of what praise is. I mean, most of us are pretty familiar, but let's just review some things about praise and worship. And because, honestly, we're kind of puny on the praise, according to the Word. Not according to how we feel, but according to the Word. Okay. Why do I say that? What makes me say such a thing? You know, that sounds corny. Well, I'm sorry. But let's see what it says about praise, okay? What is praise? There are types of praise and types of worship, and I'm not sure I'm going to say these words right because, honestly, it's been so long since I even began. I didn't go through all the Hebrew, but I might murder these words, but I'm going to say them anyway. I'll spell them. The first one is a type of praise, and it's called Zamar. Z-A-M-A-R. And it's to touch strings as a harp or to play, like Justin or Jane or anyone who plays whatever. It's playing an instrument as unto the Lord. David did that. He did that out in worship God with his little harp. Hmm. And I have one, a duplicate of one at home, but I'm not sure it really looks like what his harp looked like. But anyway, I don't know how to play it because it doesn't, it's kind of just a fake one. So then there's instruments that we praise with. And the next one is ALATS, and it's a lots. Okay. I don't see that much around here except for over in the corner with little kids. It's jumping, jumping for joy, being joyful and rejoicing outwardly. I saw a lot of that the other night. It was fun, huh? There's C-A-P-H-A-R.
Kaphar.
And that is to score with a mark, or inspiration, or to speak his work. It's like testifying, or witnessing, using words, or even writing a book can be a praise to the Lord, if it's giving glory to him. And that's not a physical thing, and so much as other things that we think of. But that's a way to praise God. And the next one is C-H-A-G-A-G. You want to say
that?
Chagag. To move in a circle and to march in a sacred procession or dance and laugh or feasting. I don't hear much laughter around here in our praise from the adults. Sometimes from the kids. These are all ways, these are just a smidgen of some of the things that the word talks about is praise. But honestly, we need to start thinking about what incorporates praise. And sort of getting out of the box of our reserved things and start, well, Michael, I'm not talking to you. I'm just kidding. You are very expressive. And you do it. But, you know, practice at home. Start jumping and expressing how you feel at home to the Lord. And then you'll get used to it. And then you won't be worried about what people are going to think if you shout Jesus or hallelujah or, I mean, I know you all hear me do that, but you know, it's like I feel like, oh, that's pastor, that's not me. Well, the Bible says that's part of praise.
Amen.
And we got to live the word. And if we don't feel like expressing it, maybe we're not focused on the Lord enough because he excites me. I get excited.
Amen.
I can't help it. He's exciting. And to not be able to express that would just, I don't care what people think. I don't care if y'all think I'm a free spirit, by the way, whatever that is, whatever you call it.
Holy Joe.
I'm not Joe, I'm Sue.
Holy Jew.
I just love the Lord, and I have been expressing it physically and spiritually for a long time. And it's just part of who I am, but not necessarily just who I am. It should be part of who we are, because that's what the Bible says, express is praise. Praise includes anything that's glorifying God. We're not here to glorify ourselves or to feel comfortable or to worry about what our neighbor thinks. We're here to please him.
Amen.
And when we come in here every day to gather in his name, we have to have him, that focus, that we're here to please you, Lord. We're not here to, let's do this, or let's, all that's included. But our focus needs to be on pleasing God in all that we do, every day, every way, but especially when we're gathered, because there's more joy, and it pleases him. That's the point. We're created for his pleasure, and it pleases him to see us express it, and we don't have to feel like it either, because most of the time, we don't feel like jumping up and down, especially these days. We just rather sit and be quiet. Right?
Mm-hmm.
I know you're saying right because I see you. But God says,
all these things are expressions that he loves.
Another one is C-H-U-W-L. How do you say that one?
Chahul.
Chahul. It means to twist and swirl. That's fun. It is. Then there's Dagal. Is that right? Dagal, D-A-G-A-L. Okay. That involves like flags and banners. And we need to make flags for the kids so that they can wave flags.
Ooh, dear.
Seriously. Well, just they have to be little. But think of the processions that there were in the Old Covenant. They had banners. It says his banner over us is love. They had banners. They had musical instruments. They had praisers. They had singers. They had dance. I mean, they did it all. Now, it's not always going to be acceptable or received by somebody else. But the truth is, you're not worshiping for somebody else.
Or somebody else.
Right. Right. And not only that, are you not worshiping for somebody else and what somebody else is going to think, but you might get shunned. Guess who else did? David. He expressed exuberant worship. Exuberant because the presence of the Lord was coming back to Jerusalem. Well, the presence of the Lord is already here. We don't have to wait for the Ark of the Covenant.
No, we don't.
Here.
Amen.
It's here. His presence is here. Because we are his Ark. So we need to express it. I'm just giving you a little to realize. Ask the Lord what pleases him when you worship. What is it that really pleases him when we come together? The last one I'll talk about is G-O-L, discol. And that's calling out or crying or making a sound.
Thank you.
Hallelujah! Or praise God! Or thank you, Jesus! Or what's another one, Justin?
Amen.
There you go. That's a good start, Justin.
Taking notes.
Glory to God. Give God glory like John 8.
Yes. Singing and shouting, strolling, and ministering, dancing. There are all different scriptures that express all these things. Spinning around, just expressing our love and happiness and joyfulness before the Lord. Even when we don't feel joyful, even when we don't feel happy, we can come and praise God anyway. We don't have to dance and be exuberant, but we can express by faith that which pleases him. Express our love to him in that which pleases him.
Mm-hmm.
And I guarantee you start letting yourself be a little freer and active worship, as I'll put it. It's not just for kids. We're kids too. We're his kids.
Yeah, it's true.
And so, I want to hear some more shouting in this place. Actually, I'm not going to say that. Jesus wants to hear more shouting. He wants to hear more expressive worship from us.
Yeah.
He really does. How do I know? Because he told me. He told me he wants to see us free in him to worship and have expressive worship. Now, whether you accept that or not, that's between you and God. I just have to stand and say what he says. But I do know that worship and praise isn't just sitting there singing a song. You've got to start using your expressions to him if you want to bring pleasure to him. That's why we're here, bringing pleasure to him. Correct?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
That's right. Well, there's something else I want to talk about going along with that. And that is not just praise, but what worship is, true worship. My definition of true worship that I've come up with, I will say, is this. True worship is the deepest commitment and expression of faith that there is. And I'll give you an example. I could give you a few, but I won't give you too many. I'll give you one, maybe two. The first one we're all familiar with. The first one that I'm thinking of at this moment is Abraham. Abraham was a man of faith. What does the Bible say? He was a man of faith. And that's why he is righteous, because he was a man of faith. He believed God. He's known to be faith. He's known for salvation by faith. That's what Paul said. Paul said, you know, in Hebrews, and I believe Paul wrote Hebrews, when it was his faith was credited to him for righteousness. He believed God. He believed God. It's that simple. He believed him. But more than that, it isn't just a matter of what he believed. It's a matter of how deep that faith went. That faith said that he trusted God with anything and everything in his life. Everything. He knew God and trusted God with everything. And when he got up on that mountain with his son, his only son that left there, he got up and God said, he's the sacrifice. It doesn't say he blinked an eye. It doesn't say he thought about it. Wait a minute, God. This isn't what the bargain was. You know, it's supposed to be a ram. That's what it's supposed to be. He didn't talk to God about what it was supposed to be. That was what a father would do, right? Oh, no, we can't kill my son, right? No. He had in perfect faith that God was going to make, that if Isaac was going to be what God said he was, and he said that he was going to be the father of nations. So God had a plan, and he totally trusted God's plan. He didn't try to figure it out. He didn't try to say, well, wait a minute, it's not my job to, you know. He didn't try to control it. He didn't try to do anything. He didn't try to change it, bargain with God. If he did, it doesn't say he did. It doesn't say that. He just obeyed with complete faith. And that is what the deepest worship is. Is to have such deep faith in God that you follow the Lamb wherever you go. Worship is total trust and expressing that, not just in worshiping with our songs and but worshiping with our actions. Walking and doing that which God tells us to do, whether it's in our wheelhouse or not. A wheelhouse may be a bad word for some of you, I don't know. But whether it's in our scope of what we think we should be doing, whether it's in our scope of what fits the mold of what we see, total surrender to God is not easy. Now maybe it's easy for kids. But it's not easy as adults. It is not easy. We have an idea of what we're supposed to do and what we're supposed to be and all these things that we count worthy of the word, worthy of what we're supposed to do, worthy of what we think things should be. And yet, God comes and he puts his finger and says, wait a minute. I have another plan. Do we have enough faith in God? And do we know him intimately enough that he will do exactly what he's promised us, whatever the cost, to us? We are his workmanship. We are created for his pleasure. If Abraham had said, whoa, wait a minute, this isn't in the bargain package, Lord, what would happen? What would have happened? He was a precursor for Jesus. But Abraham had that intimacy with the Lord, wherein we need that intimacy with the Lord. To know his character enough to trust him at all costs and not try to
wait a minute,
or you know, as parents especially, we want to be in charge, we got to do it our way, what we think is the right thing. And sometimes the Lord, I don't know about you as parents, but sometimes the Lord has said, wait a minute, when I was trying to do something with my kids. Wait a minute, that's not my plan. That's not what I want you to say or do. You know, and I know we've always experienced that at times. Now, wait a minute, I want you to do it another way. Because he knows what the child needs. But he'll show us. And there's so many opportunities and so many places that we can do things that we have acquired knowledge about through our experiences. Like, have you ever heard of, well, you know, I sound just like my mom, or I'm just like my dad, you know? Have you ever heard of that? Mm-hmm. I mean, you know, we have these things that we do that we've acquired through experience that seemeth right unto man, but isn't necessarily how God wants it done. And so, I find lately that every single day I bring my agenda, or what I call my agenda, meaning what I think or what I do, and asking God every day, and he's changing things in me. And he's changing things in you, if you're allowing him to. Every day, he does something new every day in me. And he wants to do that in you. Because we have a purpose for this hour. We were created for such a time as this. And this is not an easy hour. By any means. Not that anything that in the past has been harder. I mean, the things that we haven't made comparatively. We haven't made. And we have to allow God to temper us. I don't care how old we are, you know, whether 100 or 10 or, you know, we every day need to go before the Father and say, Lord, change me, remove this, show me. It's a daily thing. And it doesn't always feel good, but, you know, it does when it's done. It does when you I mean, when you start walking it out and you see that change in you and you see things differently with God's eyes instead of what you thought, it is amazing. But he's changing us from glory to glory. He is preparing his bride. Now, I know that doesn't mean a lot to you men. It's difficult. And I'm a woman, so I have to tell it from the woman's point of view, because I've had a lot of bridal experiences with the Father. He's come, I mean, it's years ago, lots of wonderful testimonies of how the Lord was dealing with me as a bride. But you guys are sons of God. You guys are the sons of God. So he wants to change you too.
Amen.
And prepare you. So Father, I just thank you. I thank you for your word. I thank you, Father, that you are telling us and reminding us that we were created for your pleasure. And in this hour, it's not about our pleasure. It's not about our comfort. It's not about who we want to be or want in this life. It's about an eternal purpose that you created in us, Father. And that we will be focused on that eternal purpose of pleasing you, our Father, and knowing that you can change us and bring us into that beautiful picture that you have, that you see us, who we are. And help us, Lord, to be attentive to your changing and to be pressing into the mark of the high calling in that regard. In Jesus' name. Jesus.